Microphone on, so that'd be even louder. It's so good to see you all, and it's particularly good to see people who've not been here either before or for a while. And some people are shyer than others, so I'm not going to name lots of people, but I know Jean in particular in the middle. In bright red, which is a very good Pentecost colour. we are so pleased. Jean had a stroke a long time ago. I can't remember when it was. You've been gradually just restored in her time with the Lord. Jean, before we're going to pray, and I'm just going to ask you something. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for all that you've done in bringing us here today. There's been all sorts of obstacles and difficulties, little niggles, things that get in the way, or much bigger things, reasons we've not been able to come for months, if not over a year. So Lord, we thank you for bringing us here right now on this day. Help us to know the presence of your Spirit. Refreshing and inspiring us today. Amen. Jean, could I just ask you just to take your mask off, and if you could just say just briefly, what has sustained you through this time when you've been at your home on your own and longing to be with the body? What has sustained you? Thank you for vocalizing, because that's your experience, but there's so many others as well who have been sustained by our prayers led by the Holy Spirit. So it's lovely to see you, Jean, and it's great. Just one notice. Our beloved Gay, who's now with the Jesus in glory, but we can't see her anymore, but we're still one in Christ with her. She left behind two big cratefuls of Christian books. And Maria, her daughter, said, "Could you take these and make good use of them?" And it was fascinating opening these crates to see what it is that Gay read, listened to, that we know enabled her to be full of the Holy Spirit, full of love and compassion. All of us who knew her would have a memory of Jesus in her. And so that's why I'm specifically mentioning the books that are on the table today. Quite a few of them have come from Gay. Others will appear. They've already been there, but there'll be more appearing in line with the theme of our service. And if you think, well, I'm a bit scared of the Holy Spirit, or who is the Holy Spirit, and whatever, then for those of you who knew Gay, I would say, well, just think of her, and those things you saw of Jesus, well, that was the Holy Spirit's work. So I would encourage you today to think about the Holy Spirit, the difference he makes, the life he brings, how he shows us Jesus, how he brings out the character of Jesus. If you think, I need to know more about him, then do take one of the books. It'll have to be a grab and go. You can't linger at the tables. So you've got to just see a title and just in faith, yes, that's the one. There's two copies of this. There's some on the table in the vestibule by the main door. You could also go out through the Crosslink Centre and go out that door, and there's another table there. And this is one book, been around a long time, 9 o'clock in the morning, which is the time when the Holy Spirit was poured out on the day of Pentecost. And this is a storybook of the amazing thing that God did in an individual and lots of individual and the church's life. in America and England and other places and so on. So if you want to see, well, what does it mean now in today's culture, this is still a relevant book. There's two copies of this, and as I said, there are others as well. So if you think, yes, I need to know more, and just be encouraged about the things that the Holy Spirit can do, then do take something with you today, as well as your Bible at home. Last week, we had a happy birthday. Whose birthday was it last Sunday? The church's birthday. Whose birthday is it today? The church's birthday. It's interesting, isn't it? It's the whole church's birthday day. Last week, we blew out candles, for those who weren't here. We haven't got the candle cake here today. We blew out candles last time. But this is the church's birthday. So this is a special day, and it's so good to have the church almost completely full in here today. It's wonderful. It's good to see you all here. We were helped last week to hear about the house God blesses. Our visiting speaker, Peter Mockett, talked about the house that God blesses. And it is a house of praise. This place where we gather, and also at home, is a house of praise. We've come to the house of God to praise the Lord. And we read at the end of Luke's Gospel that after Jesus ascended into heaven, he says this: "Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. He told them, 'This is what is written, the Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. And repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem.' Tells his disciples, 'You are witnesses of these things. I'm going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you've been clothed with power from on high.' When he had led them out into the vicinity of Bethany, he lifted up his hands and he blessed them. While he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up into heaven. Then they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and they stayed continually at the temple praising God." The 11 apostles worshipped Jesus. Some doubted, but then they returned back to Jerusalem, where they stayed continually at the temple praising the Lord. So that's where we're going to start today's service. This is a house of praise. And wherever you're listening to this service, here or in your home or in the car or on a run, wherever you're listening to this service, this is a day to praise the Lord. We can't have our usual roving mic going round. So if you want to answer a question today, remember to take your mask off and then put it back on. But I want to ask a question now. Why do you want to praise the Lord today?
Because he's my
Messiah. He's your Messiah. Thank you. Somebody else want to give me a reason why you want to praise the Lord? Take your thing off if you may, so we can hear you. Anybody want to praise the Lord today? Anybody want to praise the Lord today?
Yeah.
Yes, what reason, Maria?
I'm just going to say because God is good.
God is good. That'll do me. I know we're not used to this, because we've all been behind masks, but we are allowed to speak one at a time. So, any other reason? Yes, David.
Because we were away last week, and how glad we are to come back into God's house.
Wonderful. David and Josie love being here, and we love having you here. Any other reasons to praise God?
Answered prayers.
Answered prayers. Yes, up the top there, Mike.
We are saved through the grace of Jesus Christ.
We are saved through the grace of Jesus Christ, from sin, from death, from hell, from everything else. Any other reasons?
His great love.
His great love. I'm going to stop there. This is why we have songwriters and songs, because we run out of words. Now, we can't sing, but you can speak the words that are coming up, you can pray them, you can hum them. And as we worship this morning, do bring words of praise. If God gives you a word or a scripture, just a prayer, let's do that as we worship together. David, thank you. Lord, we know what it is to have had gales and storms in physical terms, but also in emotional terms, spiritual terms. We've been through such storms and gales, but our anchor, you, taking us into the Father's presence, gives us a strong foundation, an anchor that will never fail.
Father, sometimes we're clinging on just by the little tiny finger, but that's enough, because Father, you never let us go.
Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Thank you, Lord, for bringing us home safely on Friday when the weather was so atrocious and we were driving. We know, Lord, that you were very close to us.
Thank you, Lord.
So thank you for that.
Thank you, Lord. Lord, for some of us, it's a miracle we're even here, that we're alive on this earth now rather than being with you in glory. We thank you that we're here. And Lord God, we thank you for your great love that you've lavished upon us, that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. Our song we're going to use to praise the Lord now is a very simple song that is in awe and wonder that we should be called children of God. He has chosen us. He's adopted us into his family. Again, feel free to sit or stand as we worship. Father God, I wonder. As Luke continues the story in Acts of what happened in the early church, we hear how the 11 apostles all joined together constantly in prayer, along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. And so this morning, we've also come to a house of prayer. Here and whenever, wherever God's people meet to pray, we are a house of prayer. Jean didn't get more than a few steps into the building when we said, right, we need you to pray, because we were already praying for somebody, and we needed Jean's faith and love and ability to pray to come alongside us. So each of us today are a gift to one another as we pray. As the apostles and Jesus' family praised God and prayed, more and more people believed in Jesus and came to join them, until there was a group of 120 people. A house of people. We heard last week, a house of praise, a house of prayer, and a house of people. There were 120 people. Men, women, and I'm sure some children were there. And God led them to appoint a new 12th apostle to witness to Jesus' resurrection. Our church too is a house of people. Now do this very gently, but would you like to look up at the balcony? There's a few more people there than when you first came in. Those who aren't underneath the balcony, you just have to look at us. Yes, you can say hi to each other. We're allowed to wave. So look at these strange people, these odd rocks, these living stones. Some of us are nice, smooth, round pebbles, but most of us are chunks of rocks. We went to see Maria and Pete's house yesterday, and they've got this lovely wall, a dry stone wall with bits of cement where you can't see them. So it looks dry stone. They are all funny shapes and sizes, but they all fit together. So as you were looking around, thinking, oh, there's a weird lot up on the balcony. They were looking down on you, saying, there's a weird lot down here. And there's an even weirder lot underneath the balcony, but we don't talk about that. The point is, we are living stones that God has chosen to put together for his purpose. And another strange decision we made, we reappointed two Andrews and we appointed Joan as deacons at the Tuesday meeting the week before last. Now, it's not because Andrew Worth and Andrew Hamilton and Joan are the best Christians in the church. It's not because they're super elegant and wonderfully knowledgeable, although they are. It's because God has said, I want these three humble people to serve this church. And you recognize that. You recognize their humility, their love for the Lord, and their love for people. And so we have an opportunity today to pray for them. But we're going to do it for all our deacons. I can't remember what we did last time we appointed deacons, whether we did this before. But tough, we're going to do it now. Because we need to honor those who serve and lead. So we've got a PowerPoint, if we could have that up on the first slide. That would be lovely. And so, our deacons are Andrew Worth, Hilary Ray, Mark Ryan, Joan Young, Andrew Hamilton, and David Boros. And I'm getting to stand at the moment, I'm giving them a rest for the moment. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we are now to receive and welcome these friends whom God has called and whose calling the church meeting has recognized to serve as deacons in this fellowship. As servants of Christ, they are called to share in the tasks of pastoral care, leadership, and stewardship within the life and mission of this congregation. Trust them. Pray for them, and at all times help them in the work of the Lord. This is what Peter says. Each one should use whatever gift he's received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, he should do it as one speaking the very words of God. If anyone serves, he should do it with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. Now, Peter knew what he was talking about, so you've got to listen to Peter. And it's God's word as well. So, I invite now our deacons to stand. What we would normally do is we would normally call them forward and we would pray for them together and lay hands on them. But we're in COVID times. So could you come up, David, could I ask you to come forward and Joan a little bit further forward, simply because, Andrew, could you take over the, who knows what to do on the PowerPoint? Claire, is Claire around? Yeah. Claire, could you just do the PowerPoint? Andrew Worth, could you come forward, please? And Claire, if you could just do the PowerPoint just for a moment. Come further forward. It's just that people on the balcony can't see you guys. So Andrew and David, if you could come forward, further forward. So everybody can see all the deacons. That's right. Great. That's fine. You're well spread. So, they've got a response to make, and you've got a response to make. My sisters and brothers. This is deacons. My sisters and brothers. Do you believe in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? And do you confess Jesus Christ as your Saviour and Lord?
This is the God in whom we trust as we follow Jesus Christ.
Do you believe that God has called you through his church to this office? And do you promise in dependence upon his grace to exercise this ministry faithfully?
And
that is
my hope in Jesus Christ
with you. Now our turn. Do you, members of this church, confirm the call of God to our sisters and brothers in the service of Jesus Christ?
We do.
Will you all, members and congregation here present, support and encourage them in this ministry?
Gladly,
we will. Just stay for a moment. We'll pray, and then I want to open up for us all to pray. Loving God, we wonder at the way you call women and men into partnership with you for the sake of your saving purposes for the world. You call us in Christ and empower us by your Spirit so your church may be built up and your gospel proclaimed and lived. We thank you for each of these brothers and sisters whom you have called to serve you within this fellowship. We give you thanks for all you give us through them, for their following of Jesus and their willingness by your grace to serve together. As we commission them for this ministry, we ask your blessing upon them. Stretch out a hand if you'd like to towards these folks here. Guide and equip them, we pray, by your Spirit, that your church may grow in wisdom, love, and unity, and that your name may be glorified through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
In this moment, if you'd like to pray, if God gives you a word, speak it out. Take your mask off, then speak it out, so we can say amen to your prayer.
Lord, we thank you for the gifts which you have distributed amongst us. And we thank you just now particularly for the giftings of these folk who are standing amongst us. We pray that you will enable them to carry out their ministry through the power of your Holy Spirit. And help us, Lord, always to be encouraging towards them.
Amen. Amen.
Lord Jesus, we would ask that you will anoint these people in the power of the Holy Spirit.
Yes, Lord.
And fresh today, on this special day. And we pray that you will anoint each one of us to spread your word and to rely on the Holy Spirit's word.
Amen.
Lord, in Ecclesiastes, it tells us that the axe blade must remain sharp. We pray, Lord, that this sharpness can only be the Holy Spirit showing wisdom. We pray, Lord, upon the deacons, Lord, that the Holy Spirit flows from them in a godly wisdom, not in the effort employed by the world.
Amen. Amen.
Father says, he has called you, and he will not fail you as you seek his face.
Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Father, we thank you for each one standing up. And we pray, Lord, for each of their families, that you will be with them at this time too. And we just thank you, Father, and the gifts you have given them, and the gifts you are perhaps yet to give them.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. You are commissioned to serve as deacons and charity trustees in this congregation. May God bless you as you share in the ministry of Jesus Christ. In all your words and deeds, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God through him. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. Lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen. Thank you. Resume positions. Thank you, Claire. We could do, couldn't we, what we normally do, which is a round of applause for our deacons. They do so much that you don't know and so much you do know. So it's wonderful. Last week, Peter Mockett showed us the house God blesses is a house of praise, of prayer, of people. And we've looked at that. But there was one more P. What was the last P?
Power.
Power. Good. Excellent. That's the alliteration for you. Using P's. It's good, isn't it? Power. I'm going to send you what my Father has promised. But stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you've heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit. That's what Jesus said was coming. So what happened next? Anne's going to bring us the Bible reading, and then we're going to pray for our children as they go out. But we're all going to hear God's word together. Thank you, Anne. And I'll bless you on Jeff, who should have been reading as well as Anne, but is not well. So thank you, Jeff, for volunteering. And bless you, Anne, as you read.
Well, the reading today is from Acts chapter 2, as you might imagine. And it's page 1093 in the Church Bible. So chapter 2 of Acts, which is exciting. And it's entitled at the top, "The Holy Spirit Comes at Pentecost." When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each one of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now they were staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment, because each one of them heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya near Syrian, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "Oh, they've had too much wine." Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and addressed the crowd. "Fellow Jews, and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions, and your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servant, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs in the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved."
Thank you. It's always good when you have the reading read by someone who believes what they've just read. And it's always the case, and it's so good, isn't it? So, we're going to bless our children now, and it's really good. They've been sprouting. To start with, we just had this one, and then these, and then there, and then, and they've grown, which is wonderful. So, Rowena and Jean are going out with our children today, so I'm just going to pray for you. We've just heard, "In those last days, God says, I will pour my spirit out on all people." All people includes children who believe in Jesus. So let's pray for our children to believe in Jesus, to receive the power of the Holy Spirit, so they may know Jesus, prophesy, and see visions today in accordance with the word we've just heard read. Father, I thank you for each one of our children. I thank you that you love children. You want to pour your spirit out upon them that they may know you and may follow you. We pray that you will bless Rowena and Jean and all the children, all those adults who brought them and are with them. We pray they may know the power of the Holy Spirit to know Jesus and to speak of him to others, to see visions, to receive all that you have for them. Amen. Go and be blessed. Excellent. Oh, Granny's tap. Oh, good. Excellent. Excellent. We got that. We got that thunder on the stairs. It's wonderful. Noise coming down down the stairs and back up the stairs, and to see them through the windows. I know a lot of you've been praying for a long time for our children and our families, and it's lovely to see you all, old and young. So, who likes waiting? Who likes waiting? Perhaps it depends on what you're waiting for. Waiting for a bus that looks like it isn't going to turn up is a pain. Waiting for something bad to happen makes us anxious. Waiting for an operation that gets delayed at the last minute is really difficult. That's if it's happened twice or three times before. I understand there's currently 5 million people on NHS waiting lists for procedures, operations, and so on. We've all had to wait for these successive periods of 5 weeks to see if the next stage of the government's roadmap will unfold. So there could be really negative aspects of waiting. But there could also be a different kind of waiting. Waiting for something really good. A growing sense of anticipation. Our excitement building. I was looking forward to getting married to Leslie so much that I couldn't sleep the night before. And in the morning, me and the best man arrived at the church an hour before it was open. Surely I'm not the only one who was keen to get married. Yesterday, we went to see the new house that Peter, Maria and our grandchildren have moved into. And we've been really waiting for the time when it's allowed, and we were looking forward to it. We could be inside, and it was great, but there was something even better. And it's good that Maria's not here at the moment, because she might get teary again. I said to Maria, right, put the child down, we need a hug. And 15 months of hugs were in that moment. Now, I'm sure I'm not my own. I'm sure there's others who I know are still waiting to see their grandchildren and their children or their best friend. So we were waiting, quite patiently, but just waiting with that picture. Something really good. Now, 2,000 years ago, there were 120 people in a house waiting for something, or actually someone, to arrive. They didn't know what was going to happen, but they were looking forward to it because Jesus said that he who was coming was just like him. And they knew how wonderful Jesus was, so they knew this was going to be really good. One of the last things Jesus had told them, as we've heard, was that before he went to heaven, was that his Father was going to give them the long-promised gift, the Holy Spirit. And they're all going to be baptized, which means soaked, doused, immersed, really wet. That's what it means to be baptized. They're going to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. The gift that was coming is a he, the Holy Spirit. The only thing they had to do was wait. They couldn't do anything to make it happen, hurry it to happen, get the thing right. They just had to wait. We know now they only had 10 days to wait. because Jesus had appeared for 40 days, and it was on the day of Pentecost, 50 days after Passover, which means 50 minus 40 is 10. So there were just 10 days they had to wait. But they didn't know that. They had to wait. We've all been in a time of waiting of one sort or another. We've been waiting to see if COVID-19 would spread. We've been waiting to see the number of deaths and infections coming down. We've been waiting for a vaccine to be developed. Waiting for our injection. Waiting for our second injection. Waiting for restrictions to come in. And waiting for restrictions to be dropped. Some have spent the waiting time worrying. Some have been very ill. Some have been caring for others. Some have been very busy and still are, whereas others have been completely bored to tears. Some have been feeling trapped indoors. Some are hiding indoors. What did the believers do while they waited for the Holy Spirit? They stayed continually at the temple, praising God. They all joined together constantly in prayer. That's about all we know. But there were other people too. There are other people waiting. And I hadn't really thought about this before. And some of you might want to think about it and think, oh, yeah, I hadn't thought about that before. Jesus, we know that Jews were commanded to celebrate lots of different festivals and feasts and so on in the law. And there were three major festivals. There was Passover, which was celebrated on the time when Jesus was crucified. There was then Pentecost, or the Feast of Weeks, also known as Harvest of the First Fruits. It's the wheat harvest. And it was 7 weeks and 1 day after Passover, which is 50 days, which is why it was called Pentecost, because Pentecost is 50 days in Greek. And then there was tabernacles, booths, tents, reminding them of their time in the desert. So Passover's happened, and all the Jews were commanded to celebrate Passover in Jerusalem. So there were Jews from all over the world in Jerusalem for Passover. And many of them lived a long way away from Jerusalem. Anne read out all those wonderful names. It's always a fun reading that, Anne, isn't it? Because you've got all those names. But some of those Jews who lived a long way away from Jerusalem and had family in Jerusalem or could afford to stay in lodgings wouldn't have gone home. Having made that huge trip, and it was a perilous journey on sailing boats as well as across land, they would have stayed in Jerusalem waiting for Pentecost, waiting for the first fruits of the wheat harvest to be celebrated. They would have been looking forward to the feast, because the feast was a great big party. You don't have to read the instructions. The instructions from God about the feast is have fun. Eat and drink whatever you like to have fun. Don't believe me, it's true. Go into Leviticus, you'll find it. Have fun. That's what God says. So they were waiting for a party. They were waiting for a party with all their family and friends and everybody else. There was a sense of anticipation. A growing sense of excitement. They'd have one party, now we're going to have another one. They would have seen the believers worshipping at the temple, because they were always there. They would have seen the believers there. They would have heard the stories about Jesus and his death. Some would have been those who shouted out, "Crucify him." They would have heard about his supposed resurrection and the fake news circulated by the leaders of the Jews that his disciples had stolen the body. They were all waiting. And then it happened. The Holy Spirit came upon the believers, all 120 of them. He came with power. The violent wind from heaven and tongues of fire. We've got some wonderful pictures here. Jean did these 20 years ago. And it's lovely, Jean, we've got your pictures here still giving us a picture. You can't believe, give a picture of wind. If you had a wind machine here, I was told there was a wind machine on at a performance the other day, and it needed 20 men to hold it. So if you can think, that's the sort of, you know, it's a huge, violent wind that came down upon these believers. All of the believers were filled with the Holy Spirit, all given other tongues, so that those Jews from all those other lands waiting for the feast heard the declaration and wonders of God in their own language. Anybody see Eurovision last night? Bits of it. Most of you took the sensible option of not watching it. But it's really interesting. There's all sorts of people, all sorts of countries, amazingly. Azerbaijan and Lithuania and various other things. And there's, you know, some of the songs in some of their own language, some in English and so on, and there's interpretation, translations, God. You imagine the Eurovision scene, for those who've seen it before. All those different people from all those different countries, and suddenly a team come up on the stage who are clearly not educated people. They didn't do Latin at Eton or something. They suddenly turn up on stage and they sing. And everybody hears their own language. That's what it was like. That's what it's like. What they have been waiting for was a who. The Holy Spirit came upon them in power to show them who Jesus is and to enable them to tell others. He transformed ordinary, uneducated men, women, and children into worshippers and witnesses. They praised God. They quoted Hebrew scriptures that pointed to Jesus. They preached the gospel. They saw visions, dreamt dreams, and prophesied. 3,000 Jews believed in Jesus and were baptized and received the gift of the Holy Spirit for themselves. What a day. So, what are you waiting for? I don't want any answers, but in your own mind. What are you waiting for? Freedom to sing. I've already heard that this morning. We want to be able to sing. They could sing on that day. We want to be able to sing. We want the freedom to see our family and friends, to hug them. We want freedom to get married, go on holiday. Put our face coverings in the bin. Yes! Yes, some of them need to go in the bin. They are grotty. What else? Are we waiting for the Holy Spirit to come upon us? To heal us? To change us or change our situation? Are we waiting for the Holy Spirit to convict someone we know that they are sinful, but there's forgiveness? That they are unrighteous, but they can be made right with God? That they're under judgment, but they can be set free from judgment? What are people out there, just through the window, in the pouring rain at the moment, what are they waiting for, apart from sunshine? They're waiting for a hug. They're waiting someone to talk to, someone to listen to them. Many are looking for the freedom, longing for, and have now got it, the freedom to go to the pub with their friends. Some are looking so forward to taking their baby or toddler to a toddler group. Some are looking for a job, waiting for a job. Some, I met someone yesterday who's waiting for less of a job. They want to reduce their hours because it's too much. Some are waiting for a home. Many are waiting for good news. Power to change. I want to live differently, but I can't. God tells us in Isaiah chapter 40 that those who wait on the Lord will renew their strength. Or another translation, find new strength. All of us today need to find new strength. I was talking to somebody just yesterday. And we said, what's going on? And we said, this has taken it out of all of us. This has taken it out of all of us. this whole thing. We need new strength. It's what we need, and we have good news to tell others. If you wait on the Lord, you will find new strength to do what you think you couldn't do. Some people just need to hear, God loves you. I wish I hadn't got the time, but I'm doing it now. I'd love to look into each of your eyes really close, as long close as we're allowed, about 6 feet, and say, God loves you. God loves you. And there's people out there, and in here perhaps, but I hope not after today, because I'm trying to catch everybody. There's people out there who've never heard that they are loved. Who is it today? Who is it tomorrow that you can say, God loves you, and I do too? The Holy Spirit is the one who comes alongside us to comfort, encourage, and strengthen us by showing us who Jesus is, telling us what he says, and then in his power, guided by him, we comfort, strengthen, and encourage others. It's a two thing. We receive and then we give. Whatever comfort you've had, comfort someone else. Whatever strength you've received from God, that's why I asked Jean this morning, what has strengthened you this morning? She's now told us. So we need to tell other people there is a strength and a power and a comfort and an encouragement that you don't have, but that is there freely available in Jesus by the Holy Spirit. He gives us, in order to do this, what we can't do. He gives us spiritual gifts. Let's not be afraid of them, and let's look at the whole range of spiritual gifts all the way through the Bible. You'll find lots of different types of spiritual gifts. He gives us a compassionate heart. And the one thing I shared at the funeral for Gay, which everybody agreed on, and you would all agree now, for all that you knew her, she has a compassionate heart. That only comes from God. Who wants a compassionate heart? You can tell me this one. Yeah. Yeah. Well, Jesus loves you. And if you let him love you and give you his Holy Spirit poured into your heart, you will have, and you do have, a compassionate heart. He calls us to be his disciples, following Jesus, becoming like Jesus, who go and make disciples of others, in a way that enables them to pass it on as well. I say again, and you'll hear me keep saying this, don't be afraid of Holy Spirit. Is anyone afraid? You don't put your hand up for this, but anyone afraid of Jesus? We might be a bit nervous, but we're not living in fear of Jesus. Or maybe we are. If we're in sinful state, then maybe we are in fear, and rightly so. Let's be forgiven and not be in a place of fear anymore. But if we're not afraid of Jesus, then we shouldn't be afraid of Holy Spirit. Because Jesus said, another counselor will come. He's just like me. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Jesus. They're one and the same. So don't be afraid of him. He is Jesus' gift to you. Nobody turns away a gift. Our granddaughters are gorgeous, as you can see. And at home, on our dining room table, sideboard, we have two wonderful bits of paper with bits of leaves all over them. Pete says, here we are, another load of stuff for you. And they love doing it. They gather stuff in the anywhere they go and then stick it on bits of paper and give it to us. Do we say, well, that's ridiculous, a child could do that? Oh, no, we don't. What do? We go, wow, what a gift. Because it's come from Jesse and Sophia. So if God is giving you a gift today, or wants to give you a gift today, why on earth would we say no? Not for me. That's for someone else. So, how do we know when the Holy Spirit comes upon us? If we say today, as we will do in a moment, if you want to, come Holy Spirit, welcome Holy Spirit. How do we know when he comes upon us? Well, I think we do know when we think about it. We worship with joy or perseverance in very difficult situations. It doesn't look a lot like joy, but it is. It's holding on. When he comes, we will pray earnestly for others. When he comes, we hunger for his word, for us and for others. When he comes, we love people that we couldn't possibly love any other way. When he comes, like those first 120, we will be witnesses to Jesus for those who are waiting to hear the good news. It is a mark of that Holy Spirit renewal that people love God, love his word, love people. And if you think, well, that's not really me at the moment, then let's just ask the Holy Spirit to come upon us. 3,000 Jews at Pentecost knew God, but they hadn't believed in Jesus as Saviour and Lord. They didn't know he was. They repented of their sins. They said sorry. They changed direction. They were baptized, and they received the gift of the Holy Spirit. That's what happened on that day. And then many more people kept on being added to the church. If you know there's something of that that's missing, repentance, saying sorry, believing in Jesus as Saviour and Lord, being baptized in water, making a public confession of your faith, and being baptized in the Holy Spirit, receiving his Holy Spirit. If there's something of that that's missing, then we'll pray in a moment. And just ask God to supply what's missing. And do speak to someone afterwards. Tell them what you've done or what you need. Speak to me, one of the deacons, someone you know in the church. If, after all we've been through, you realize you need new strength, then ask him to fill you with his Holy Spirit today. We actually need to be filled with the Holy Spirit every day. That's what the Bible says. Go on being filled. So there should never be a day when we don't say to God, fill me with your Holy Spirit. But we forget. And we get dried and we get weary. And with everything that's been going on, we just find, oh. So, all of us need to find new strength. And it comes from one place. So let's pray. Father, in this house of praise, this house of prayer, with all the people that you gather together, we need your power. Power to know your love, to receive your love, to be transformed by your love. In this moment of quiet now, help us to express what we really need to you, what we are waiting for. God's listening. He can hear your heart. Just tell him that. Father, thank you. You are answering these heartfelt prayers. Pray now you would come by your Spirit and fill every heart that is thirsty for you and has asked for you to come upon them. Give them new strength. Thank you for your answer to prayer that have been expressed in sighs and groans, that your Holy Spirit has prayed for us because we don't know what the words are. Help us do this each day, Lord. May not this be the one-off, but may it be our habit to depend upon you, to wait upon you, always. Amen. Just want to pray for our church as a whole. We ask God to come upon us individually, but we need to be a church of God's power as well. So let's pray for our church. And if you want to say amen to this prayer, then join with me in a moment. Lord, make us a house of praise, a house of prayer, a house where all people are made welcome and at home, and a house of power through the presence of your Holy Spirit. Lord, give us power to know we are your children, to be your disciples and to make disciples, to be healed and heal others, to be comforted and comfort others, to be freed and set others free. Amen. The Holy Spirit came, and immediately 120 people gathered in a room, something like this on the left-hand side there. Holy Spirit came, they started worshipping and spilling out. So I'm not sure if the children are coming back or not today, but we're going to finish our service in a bit. But before we do that, let's spill out to the community outside. So we haven't got the Medes and the Persians and everything else maybe necessary in our street, but we have people from every nation, even in Paignton, you know, coming. There are people all over the place. So let's just pray now. You might want to pray out loud. Just pray for someone you know who maybe originates from a different country, a different place. Or there's just maybe somebody you know who is waiting for some good news. Let's pray now a blessing on anybody that God brings to your mind. Yeah, for Stephen and Tracy, who run that shop, we thank you for them and bless them.
We praise you for our sister Jean, who's come back this morning. Lord, this is a miracle, and we just want her to be so blessed and filled up with your Holy Spirit in your name.
Amen.
I pray for Joanne and Paul, who live next door,
bless them.
Kirsty and Ben, and I pray, Lord, that they may come to know you and be saved. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.
Father, I want to pray for Stephen and Leslie. They already know you and the Holy Spirit. We thank you for them and for all that's happening in our church here.
A special blessing on this day.
In
Jesus' name. Amen. Lord, I just pray that every one of us will be vibrant with your Holy Spirit, that we can't but help show your love and grace to those around, that they might be touched too. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
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 I want to pray for Pam Bethel.
Who's
waiting for hospital results.
Just a
Lord, pray that you will put your arm around her and grant her freedom in touch so that she can breathe. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Lord, we thank you for those people in our community that you have given us connection with. We thank you for our next door neighbours. We thank you for those we work with, those we see regularly. We thank you for those who come from other countries to settle here. Those who have been welcomed, those who found it very difficult. We thank you, Lord, that you brought together on Pentecost at that key moment people from all over the world to receive the good news and then to go back to where they came from. Lord, we pray that as we've come here this morning to hear you, to be encouraged by you, to be inspired, may we not keep this message to ourselves, but mobilize us or spread us out, Lord. May we see you in a new way from today and the people that we have been placed among in a new way. Thank you, Lord. There is not one person who lives in our road, lives in our block of flats, who we see each day. There's not one person you don't love and desire to come into your kingdom. Help us to go out in the power of your Holy Spirit to share this good news. Amen. There are lots of ways of declaring worship and declaring our trust in the Lord. And we're going to finish our service with a hymn. And it may be there's a line in this that, you know, we need to pray, Lord, give me someone I can share this with. But I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. I've given God my life. He's given me his life. And I'm now fully committed to him, and I will be with him forever. That's not because I'm clever, it's because he's wonderful. For each of us who have put our trust in the Lord, despite all the ups and downs, you can sing this or say this as we have this song. But say it for somebody else this week, next week. Pray for that God-given opportunity to say this word. I know whom I've trusted, and I am fully persuaded he is able to guard me and that which I've entrusted my whole life forever. Let's stand and sing if you'd like to. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you to the very end of the age. Amen. Do please sit. Our children are just coming back. Let's pause a moment, because they've got wonderful things. I just want to give the... Oh, great stuff. Is there anything, Rowena, that is there anything that we need to share? You'd like to speak the microphone or not? Not today. So those who are near children, have a look and see what they'll be doing. Thank you for participating. I'm going to have a look at that in a moment. Excellent. Thank you so much for coming. God bless you.